And what? I will turn you over to your enemies?
Yes, you will serve your enemies. I will turn you over to your enemies, and you will be in lack of all things. And we have seen some people in desperate straits, Darren, but unless they change the attitude of their heart, we cannot help them. And that is probably one of the hardest things for me to do, is to stand by and watch people go into a pit as a result of their own choices and their own decisions.
You know, Barbara, some people would say, well, yeah, you're ministers of the gospel. You just want our money. Let me tell you, I hope you hear me when I say this. We want you to win, whether you're giving to Darren Live in this ministry or another ministry, but you need to give. That's a commandment of God.
Yes,
that's an order of God. It's not just an optional thing. And I've had people tell me, well, I go to a church where, oh, man, we got really cool minister. In fact, I talked to a gentleman late one night. He said, I go to this large church, and he said, our pastor, wow, he's just cool, man. He said, if you can give 2 or 3%, that's okay. You know what that pastor is doing, Barbara? Mm-hmm. He is robbing the people by not teaching the truth. And by not teaching the truth, the body of Christ is harmed. And yes, the people lose. That's what's so tragic about that kind of an attitude.
Yes, we find out from the very beginning, Darren, that there was seed time and harvest. Wherever God has existed, and he has existed forever, there's always been that sowing and reaping concept. And he brought it to his children on this earth because he wanted us to recognize that concept, that as we plant seed, as we give of what we have been given, and that mostly, and we're going to find out in the Old Testament, we can exchange the produce for money. Yes, because money is the easier thing to carry around. As we exchange the seed and plant that seed, that money, then it will come back to us in great harvest. If we don't plant, Darren, there is no harvest.
Well, what we're doing here is we're really exchanging the sweat of our brow, so to speak, or the work of our minds or whatever it is. But our way of life, we're saying to God, I'm going to give back 10% to you. But now let me correct that a little bit. Really, we don't give tithes, we really pay tithes.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Because that first 10%, folks, and this is a key thing in this teaching, the first 10% is holy unto the Lord. It is not yours. Mm-hmm. It is not mine. And God is saying, I'm going to give you a chance here to walk in relationship and in stewardship, and I want to see how you handle my money. Now, the 90%, Darren, of your income is yours, but that first 10%, now, first 10%, not third or fourth or last 10%, is holy unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And if you will do what we're sharing with you in this message, give that first holy portion to the Lord, you will be abundantly blessed.
And we're going to talk about that. That's called first fruits. And we're going to talk later on in this message about the first fruits. And those first fruits are what we get from the harvest that we have planted, the seed that we have planted. And that's going to be an important concept to you. And also, we're going to talk about the difference between tithe and offerings later on, and tithes and alms, because there are distinctive differences. But this is one subject, Darren, and one concept we get more calls on, because it relates to money, and I don't know why it's so hard for people to let go. But we receive letters and emails, and they say, well, I just don't agree with you, and here's my take on this. I'll tell you.
Well, Barbara, that money is real close to your heart. I mean, it says, you know, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is.
Yes.
And today, and I have to say in defense of a lot of people, every doorway you go through has a dollar sign on it. In our culture, I mean, we don't exchange things anymore. It's like, I don't come and help you do your crops, and you help me do my crops. No, there's an exchange of money. I'm going to hire somebody to do that, and you're going to hire somebody to help you. And it's come down to where everything, our health care, everything, our rent, our mortgages, our car gas, everything has a dollar bill on it. And that's unfortunate. You've got to really be careful, or you'll get caught up in this thing, and it will get you. It'll get you down.
That's right. One of the people that my first husband John traveled with was Brother Floyd Lacey of the Cleveland Colored Quintet in the 30s and 40s. And this precious man, Afro-American man, he said, if God's got your pocketbook, he's got your heart. And so many people, and I know those of you listening have heard people say, oh, I love God with all my heart. But they have a different take on tithing and offerings. And I believe they do not know the heart of love or the heart of God. And they don't love God with all their heart because they have not given that thing closest to them, their pocketbook, over to the Lord. And we need to do that. These people who say, well, here is my take on this. And there's, I have noticed, Darren, when we get calls like this or emails, there's no scripture accompanied with this. It's just you people always ask about money.
But there isn't any scripture that says this is optional.
No, that's right. There isn't.
Also, we have found by observation, because people share with us, they come and say, would you pray for this? Would you pray for that? Would you pray for my business or pray for my career or my job or whatever? And sometimes our first question to them is, are you a tither? If you're having financial problems.
Financial, that's right.
I mean, we just well get down. It's almost like a CPA would say, you got problems with the IRS? Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about, bring me your last several years of tax returns and how are you handling your tax obligation to the government? They're going to ask you questions like that.
They're going
to
get very personal, yes, and they're going to ask for all of your records. That's absolutely right.
And they're
going
to get you.
Yes.
Okay, but when it comes down here to dealing on prosperity issues, one of the best questions you can ask, and folks, I'll tell you, with Darren and Barbara, you know, don't ask if you don't want to hear the truth, because we're going to take you to the Word, not, well, this is what Darren and Barbara have concocted, or this is what we think will work for you. Well, we can tell you this is what we know will work for you, because we're going to be coming out of the truth of God's Word, and the Bible says God's Word is truth, and if you go with God's truth, you will always win, and we're going to show you how to win here in this issue. But one of the first things we ask people, are you tithing? Now, sometimes walking in and out of the radio station, we run into other ministries. And occasionally they say to us, you know, we got some problems here paying our air bill. Well, or we've got this or that. And sometimes the first thing we'll say to them is, well, are you a tithing ministry? And we've had them actually say, well, we plan to catch up on that. And you know, what they're really saying is, we don't believe the tithing message here, but we're trying to be in ministry. And we tell them straight out, my friend, you don't have a prayer if you don't tithe.
Mm-hmm. Especially,
you've got to tithe.
Well, especially, Darren, if they're in the leadership. Especially the leadership is called and is accountable for that more than anything else. And we're going to talk about this in the Old Testament, how God spoke to the priests and the leadership, and especially in Malachi 3 that we're going to talk about. That was to the leadership and the priests. So they need to be really,
Accountable.
Yeah, but more than that, they up front have got to be an example to their people that they tithe more than any of the people in their congregation that they do. So let's look when you say this is my take on it, we aren't concerned anymore about what you are, what your opinion is, or your opinion on this issue of tithing. We're only concerned about God's Word and what He says about. So let's look in God's Word and look in the Old Testament. And I first of all need to say, Darren, that in Genesis 4, we see in the very beginning a very grateful heart, a very thankful heart in Abel. And he brought an offering to the Lord that blessed the very heart of God. Why? Because it was his first fruit. It was the very first of his flock. It was the best. It was the choicest. And I've heard some sermons on this say it was probably his favorite little lamb that he brought, because God gave his son, his lamb, on the cross. And so many of the evangelists that I've heard said Abel brought his choicest little lamb, his first little lamb, and he gave it as a sacrifice to God, where Abel just kind of threw together some things and brought to God, and Cain was rejected by God. Cain brought just a few things he'd thrown together. Abel brought the very best, and he was rewarded by God.
Now, I would say this, don't give God the leftovers. Mm-hmm. I think that's in part what it's saying here. In other words, if you get down, you're ready to go to Sunday school and church, think, oh my goodness, we don't have any money in our checking account. Maybe we better get the piggy bank out here. We got to at least give the kids some dimes, nickels, and pennies to go to Sunday school. What are you doing? Number one, you're giving your kids a very poor example there. Mm-hmm. And you're really saying, we don't believe the Bible. And that's a terrible thing to say. We don't believe the Word of God when it talks about tithing. We think we believe it over here when it talks about salvation. Now, how can you trust God on the salvation issue if you can't trust Him on the tithing issue? Mm-hmm. If you're trusting Him that when you die, you're going to live with God forevermore and not live with the devil in eternal death, then you have to also listen to the tithing portion and do that also God's way. You can't just say, well, you know, I'm going to be a scissor Christian. I'm going to take the scissors and I'm going to cut out the parts of the Word that make me feel uncomfortable, or the parts